Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Doing everything I can to stay available for the guys. Like I've said before, in the past, nothing changes with that. Knowing when is the time to give up on a play. I would say the longevity for me to be on the field with my guys is more important than whatever that one play is. You know, you have more quarters than there would be within just that one play that I'm trying to, you know, show the guys that, you know, I'm competitive and whatnot. And I know they know that, but it's just a nature thing, you know? It just comes natural to me to compete in that sense, and that's just the thing I fight with every time.
Tua Tagovailoa there from earlier this offseason on his availability and timeline with the Dolphins. Joining us on the Wester Hotline is our buddy Marcel Louis-Jacques. Marcel, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, ready to talk some Dolphins with you. How are things?
Good morning, man. I'll always appreciate a chance to talk some ball in this time of year. You know, a lot of people enjoy it. This is like the vacation period, but this is just anxiety for me, man. I'm ready to start the season.
How about the celebrations down there in South Florida? Is Panther fever going crazy back-to-back?
It depends where you are, right, Marcel, for that?
Yeah, I think it definitely depends where you are. We stayed inside. Might actually hit up the parade. I think I was out of town during last year's, and can't take these for granted. I've never been to a championship parade, so I think it'd be kind of cool. But it's peaceful for now. You know, I think you know, there's this conception that that South Florida doesn't care about hockey, and I don't know that I would go that far. I think South Florida is proud of the Panthers, but it certainly is different than if like the Heat win the championship or if the Dolphins win a championship. But it doesn't mean that people don't care, but they definitely would care more about the other teams.
Yeah. How much of that is also like Broward County, right, in Fort Lauderdale? Like, is it, can you notice a big difference if like you're in Fort Lauderdale, how many Panther fans there are or how much they care versus if you're actually like in the heart of Miami?
Yeah, 100%. So like when they lost to Vegas 2 years ago, I think I was still living in downtown Miami, and I didn't see, you know, hardly any mention of them, of the Panthers, of the Stanley Cup, of anything. But last year when I was in Fort Lauderdale, you know, Las Olas Boulevard had banners and lights and stringers, and you know, like you were aware that it was going on.
They brought the cup to Elbow Room too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, yeah. But the practice facility is also in Fort Lauderdale, like in the heart of Fort Lauderdale. The stadium is in the cut of Broward County, man. Like, it goes stadium, Everglades, like, bang, bang. Like, there's no separation. You can see the swamp from the stadium. So they put it pretty far away from Miami proper. But, yeah, Broward County cares 100%.
Yeah. Marcel, of course, covering the Miami Dolphins down there. Marcel, what kind of year are we in for Miami? It feels like Bills fans look at this team the same every year. The fates have kind of been the same for the last few seasons. But this one strikes me as odd. Talk of culture changes, and I guess the first question is, like, have there been the kind of changes that usually lead to a team talking about culture changes?
Well, we haven't necessarily seen it, and that's not to say that they haven't happened. You know, what Samuel L. say, the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence, right? We just haven't been in the locker room yet, but all the guys, they talk about it almost incessantly. Coaches talk about it incessantly, but we haven't gotten specifics. You know what I'm saying? Like, we keep hearing culture change. Yeah, we're changing. Yeah, we're doing this. But, like, I don't really know what yet because we haven't had that, like, one-on-one time, that inside time in that locker room in the facility. But they swear that there have been, you know, as Mike said, some certain non-negotiables that have been agreed upon. You know, Tua came out and said, basically, you know, hey, we talked and we said, aren't you guys tired of the same thing happening every year? Then yeah, let's do something different. You know, one little snippet of a change that we've heard is that they've been spending a lot more time together outside the facility, which is something that we were told they were doing last year. And Bradley Chubb told us straight up, yeah, we were lying. last year. Mm. Like we tried to, but we weren't really about it like we have been this year. And you know, good for them. If the culture is changing, if they are spending more time together, if good for them. That's fine. But my first question is always going to be, this is year four of the program, man. Like, why are all these things happening now? Why are these certain non-negotiables happening now in year four instead of in year one, year two? But whatever, better late than never, right? Best way to get out of a hole is to stop digging.
Right. And with the same coach, like, I don't know, how much of it is, well, let's hear this in the season, right? Like, easier to do it maybe in the spring, shift the culture in this way, or do you feel like it should be taken seriously? And the coach part of it too, like that's always the first thought I have, is kind of what you just said, is, well, you usually hear stuff like that after you make a coaching change or something significant, and they've made some player changes that maybe could be this, but I don't know. I wonder if I should take it seriously with a lot of the same key pieces.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of the same key pieces. The notable absences, you know, Kendall Fuller is gone, but he hadn't been there long enough to make an impact one way or another. That wasn't enough of an impact player to. Javon Holland is a pretty notable departure after this past year. Still, I don't know if he is a driving force behind the culture or not. I don't know if I would call him that. They are actively trying to trade Jalen Ramsey, but like when you think of the problem children, you know, for lack of a better term, the problem child in the room, you might be looking at a certain wide receiver on the other side of the ball who took himself out of the game in week 18 last year. But he's not going anywhere. As a matter of fact, we spoke to him, and he said, you know, he doesn't even expect to be a captain again this year. Like, he expects to have to earn that back. So, like, I think in their mind, they see a humbled Tyreek Hill, but Jalen Ramsey has to go. And that is something that's still actively occurring. I don't think it's the biggest distraction in the world there. It's not like he's still around the facility, you know, being a malcontent. Like, he, by all accounts, he's still in L.A., training and waiting for a trade, but you do kind of approach it with some skepticism when you say, like, wow, like how many people are actually gone. But you know, the thing about Jalen Ramsey is he's not like a vocal presence, at least when we are in the locker room. You know, like his locker, it's the first one by the door. You know, he can slip in, slip out at will. He wasn't frequently, kind of like Jordan Poyer, he wasn't really seen with other guys in the locker room. He usually kept to himself in that locker room, at least when media was in there for that 40, 45 minutes. But because he's Jalen Ramsey, it's like a magnetic personality, right? Like when he is fired up about something, like you're going to be fired up about something. When he is upset and moody, or, you know, not showing up on time, like it just sets the wrong example. It sends the wrong message, and it kind of trickles down by osmosis. So I think at least that's how the Dolphins feel. Him gone, I think they do see that as a major personnel change.
How ugly did it get with Hill at the end of last year, with all this being said? Like, did you think they were maybe heading for a divorce because of taking himself out of the game and maybe there was more going on otherwise?
Actually, I did, because like there had been, I don't want to say like it had been brewing all year. It's not like this has been, he's just like a horrible person throughout the year. He was late to meetings for sure, but there were some moments in that locker room post game where it felt like, it's not like he's out here blowing up and yelling at people and screaming at people, but it was odd behavior. And I don't want to go super detailed into it, unfortunately, because like I don't want to get a call right after I get off this radio station. But like there were some moments where it was like I didn't know how bought in he was. There were some, and then of course the Jets game was the Jets game. But you know, if obviously he's frustrated, he had never missed the playoffs before. You know, he's dealing with what should have been a season ending wrist injury all year, so his production was you know, dropped. And that's more of an explanation than an excuse. I think the rule of thumb is, you know, if you, no matter how hurt you are, if you make decision to go out and play, you better play. You know, you have to be able to play. You have to be able to produce at the level that you are expected to produce, injury or not. And the fact of the matter is, injury or not, he did not produce the way he's paid to produce. So, you know, it was, and not to mention, and then there's the off the field stuff that just seemingly piles on. I think, you know, it's been a couple months since he has been in trouble outside the football field, but, you know, the distraction still remains with this, like, Noah Lyles stuff, which I think pretty visibly Mike McDaniel was annoyed by. So, like, it's one of those things where I think the team would rather him just, like, dude, please just play football. It's not like, you know, Gruden calling Antonio Brown level of please just play football. But I do think there's a sense of, like, hey, man, look, 30 M's a year. We really just need you to hoop. Please.
Marcel, to that in a moment, but on the Noah Lyles thing, like, so that's the challenge with the sprinter, the American sprinter.
And he was going to race
and
him.
And Tyreek just ran 100 and put up a time that was half a second slower than Lyles and is, like, standing on that, like, let's do it. He's afraid of me. Like, the clock doesn't.
Well, didn't Lyles pull out of it?
Lyles pulled out for personal reasons, but the point is, you're not faster than him. We have clocks. That's I don't get it.
That's the beautiful thing about track, right? Like, it doesn't matter the stage, the school, the level. Like, fastest is fast, man. Like, I don't care if you're running for Northwest Missouri Tech or you're running for Oregon. Like, your time is your time. The clock isn't slower or faster depending on the level you're at. So, like, that's what I've always appreciated about that sport is it doesn't matter where you are. But I think, like, Tyreek maybe sees that as, like, okay, well, I could be close. Like, if I train, da-da-da, then I could do this. However, Mike McDaniel has come out and said, you know, like, I really don't care as long as he's not specifically training for this race.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he basically said, like, if you want to go out there and run and you think that you're just as fast as him, like, I don't really care. I really don't care. But if you are out here spending time training to run this race and that is actively taking away from your time training to catch a football, then, yeah, that's an issue. And, that's the thing that, like, this is another one of those culture change aspects that I thought was honestly directly pointed at Tyreek Hill was McDaniel, and again, I'm going to paraphrase here, but said, like, we need to keep football the main thing here. Like, that is the biggest change. That's one of the biggest changes. Football needs to be number one. So, like, anything that you're doing that makes you, let's say, late to a meeting, that makes you skip a workout at home or do da-da-da-da, like, that is for the birds now. Like, you have to stop that. And so, like, I thought that was, again, directly pointed at the guy who's challenging arguably the fastest man in the world, might be the fastest man in the world, to a race. It's like, hey, man. What does this have to do with the Miami Dolphins playing football? That's where, you know, a little bit of the skepticism creeps in when I hear that, and then I hear we're changing the culture. But then, like, the guy who, you know, ended the season on such a controversial note is still doing things, you know, indicative of his past behavior. Like, how much is the culture changing? But if the race isn't happening, then fine. But, like, that's just one thing, again, like, not to keep harping on Tyreek Hill, but, like, I think that's one thing for the Dolphins that you kind of hope to see. Like, no more challenging Olympic champion. No more hopping on, you know, ride-alongs with streamers and calling out Bills fans and calling out the other teams. Like, no more trolling quarterback lists without naming the quarterback that plays on your team. You know, like, no more video games. Like, no more of this other stuff. Like, this other stuff. Like, we're trying to win, not build the brand.
And
so, like, that's what I think the team is looking for.
I had a stat for Joe maybe 2 weeks ago that kind of floored me about the Dolphins. Warren Sharp put it out about their explosive plays and 25-plus yard plays, that they were last in the league in that department. Like, this gets back to, at one point, Miami was a track team, but in a positive sense, where everybody's fast and everybody's so hard to defend, and that magic formula, whatever, it went away. So how much of it is about, you know, culture change, and how much of it is about Mike McDaniel having to rediscover what he had at one point that seemed to dry up last year?
Yeah, well, you know, for six games they're playing with the you know, Yeehaw crew at quarterback. So, like, the explosive plays just don't happen when Tua's not at quarterback. Like, point blank, period. It doesn't. It's not happening with Tyler Huntley. It's not happening with Skylar Thompson. Both of which, like, we're put in an impossible situation to run an offense that was not designed for them. In Thompson's case, like, he should have played better. He's been out of the offense for 3 years. But in Huntley's case, like, that is just – I don't envy that at all. But even with Tua back, they kind of I'd be interested. I'd have to go back and look at the play. I know I wrote about it in season. But their plays per drive and average time of possession per drive were among the highest in the NFL because they switched from – you know, they didn't want to just have the home run plays. They didn't want to rely on that. They wanted to be able to sustain drives, and that is where their offensive focus kind of shifted to. And that's why you saw a guy like, you know, Jonnu Smith, turn in a career season, or Devon Achane catching passes. I think he led all. I don't think I know. He led all NFL running backs in catches last year. So like, it was like an offensive mentality shift. I don't know that they want to get back to, you know, the home run hitting Dolphins again. It's difficult because obviously that worked. The offense was very good. The team was good. They made the playoffs. But I think that the sustaining drives with the threat of the over-the-top play is still going to be the offensive focus. Getting the run game and the physicality, increasing your physicality as a line of scrimmage is still going to be the focus. I don't think that you're just automatically going to see them, you know, run Tyreek go deep, you know, 20 times a game and like before, and just kind of hope for the best. I will say, I always thought it was interesting. Nobody talks about it because in that interview, you remember that podcast that Tua did with Dan Le Batard last summer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when he discussed Brian Flores, like that was the focus for everybody. Everybody wanted to talk about that. Nobody talks about the little nugget he sprinkled in there about how in 2023 they force-fed Tyreek because they wanted him to get 2,000 yards. Like, they forced it. It was an internal goal to get Tyreek to 2,000. Mm-hmm. And they got away from that last year. So I don't see them reverting to that, especially after paying Waddle what they're paying him, like, to be an expensive decoy for Tyreek. No, that's not going to happen. So, like, I think they're looking for balance. They're looking for sustained drives. They're looking for physicality in the run games. We might not see the 70 explosive plays a year anymore. Like, it might just not happen. Like, that's not what their goal is.
Well, that's where I wanted to get this in before we run out of time. On Waddle, because Waddle had such a down year for his standard. Like, the targets weren't there. And I know he's dealt with injuries. But if here we are talking about sustained drives and Jonnu Smith leading the team in catches and Achane leading running backs, what is Waddle's place on this team even after Hill is gone? Because when I think of him, I'm usually thinking of those, you know, downfield. I've got a stat sheet open. He led the league in yards per reception 3 years ago. So what is his role, I guess, going forward then, if that's how they want to play offense?
I mean, he's proved he can be a number one receiver. I mean, he was as a rookie, and even though he was like grossly misused as just a slot guy and a kind of like a aggrandized version of how the Bills used Cole Beasley in like 2020 when they couldn't really run the ball, so they used Cole to get those 3-4 yard gains at a time. Like that was Jalen Waddle as a rookie. I think his skill set goes beyond that. I think he can be a number one receiver. It's just the fact that last season, again, you hate to say the same excuse, but the quarterback play just was not up to par. The chemistry between Waddle and those quarterbacks was not up to par. That passing game as a whole was not up to par, and he suffered because of it. By all accounts, and from what we've seen in the five practices we've been at the spring, he's been electric. He's been able to get open at will. He's catching things, you know, intermediate, short, deep, like all over. He is doing it against questionable secondary at this point, an unproven secondary at this point. But I would expect a bounce back year from Jalen Waddle. They're paying him like a low end number one, high number two. So I think the Dolphins believe the same thing.
Marcel Louis-Jacques on the Western Hotline. Marcel, thanks for the time. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the downtime ahead of training camp. Training camp schedule soon?
Soon. Also,
maybe today?
And enjoy. The Panthers are already on
the strip there.
They're at the elbow room right now
pouring beer out of the cup over the balcony.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah. Getting used to seeing trophies in the beach like that. Warm weather.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Brady throwing the Super Bowl over a boat. That happened.
Yeah. So when we get back, I asked this question, just kind of threw it out there, and ESPN Analytics has an answer. So most of us would all agree the top three teams to win the AFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bills, Chiefs, Ravens?
Yes.
Okay. Who ESPN Analytics has number four? It was just on the screen a moment ago. Talking about who's going to win the AFC.
Okay.
Who has the fourth best chance? Who is the next team outside of that big three? It is not Cincinnati. Not that you want to think of Cincinnati. I just want to say it's not Cincinnati.
That would have been my first guess.
Okay. Well, who is it next?
James catches, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound, Box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
It's the what anniversary of that shot?
No idea.
12-year anniversary?
11 years.
11 years.
Ray Allen against the Spurs to force overtime?
Mm-hmm. All-time moment. All-time Mike Breen call, too. I am hoping the Pacers force game 7. I can't have sports end yet.
It's always nice to see teams win at home. And how about the Panthers winning back to back at home?
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder how many teams have done that. Of the back to backs, would a team in the last however many years won both times at home? So Tampa, that's COVID year stuff, right? Like that's inside the bubble for one of those, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to be back to back at home.
Nope, that's right.
Go back to Pittsburgh. They beat Nashville and they beat San Jose. Were they both or either at home? Remember that San Jose series was terrible.
Yeah. They won.
I should know the answers to these questions before I just go ahead and look them up. You know.
I mean, they won one of their cups.
In Detroit.
Who did?
Pittsburgh. When they beat Detroit. Detroit's in the West at that time.
Okay, right.
That's
right.
In Detroit.
Yep. Anyway. Yeah, the Fleury save we talked about last week where he's like rolling on the ground. Yeah.
So, anyway, T's going to the break. The top four teams, according to ESPN's analytics, to win the AFC, the big three, Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, are 1, 2, 3,
mm-hmm.
each with an even 18% chance to win the AFC. 18% Chiefs, 18% Bills, 18% Ravens. Who's fourth, according to ESPN analytics? Because they put four teams on the screen. Who's four?
Four, if it's not the Bengals, four is going to be...
I told you it's not the Bengals.
Four is going to be the Texans.
It is not the Texans.
Hmm. Is it our Jags?
It is not the Jaguars.
I figured that.
This team has a 9% chance to win the AFC. So half of the big three, but the first name up that they put after the big three.
What about... It's not New England, is it?
No.
Chargers?
Yes.
Chargers. Which always just feels like...
I feel like Denver's not far behind. Like Denver's in a really good spot. Denver's in a really good spot. I saw one guy that I liked a lot, one guy that I do like a lot, Brett Coleman. He does like off-season videos of every team, and he basically said the longer the video, the more the team has problems. Mm-hmm. If I make a two-hour video... There's a lot going on they got to fix. And he was pointing out that Denver's video was so short. He's like, this team is buttoned up. This team is in good shape.
Yeah.
Roster, coaching, everything.
I saw their offensive line might be one of the best in football this year for what they've done to that. second year of Bo Nix. Yeah, they added Dre Greenlaw, I think, in the offseason, too. I kind of like Denver more than I like the Chargers this year. The only thing holding me back a little bit about both of those teams is, are they going to have enough around their quarterbacks? The lines are good, which I think, I mean, you look at the Bills a little bit. If your lines are great and your quarterback is really good, then you should be fine. But Denver is going to be what in the skill positions this year? They still have Sutton, and he's pretty good, but he's getting older. And then they're at a rookie running back, R.J. Harvey, who they drafted in the second round. Maybe he's good. The Chargers are also going with a rookie running back, Hampton. And then receiver for them is McConkey. He's the one I would, of the two teams, I would like the most. But when you got to make a big throw, do those two teams have guys for it? They each have one. But I'm not, like, super impressed with their overall skill position groups. But I think that's fine. Their defenses should be good, their lines should be good, and their quarterbacks are good. So I think they'll be good enough to have that not be a problem.
Did you say receivers are good? Because the receivers are good.
For which? Both?
Chargers.
I like McConkey.
McConkey's, like, true number one.
McConkey's awesome.
McConkey is...
Is there anyone else I should like other than that? That could be enough, right? Like, they're not going to also throw the ball all over the place. Harbaugh's going to... And Greg Roman, of course, is going to want to run the ball a lot. That should be fine. Just having the one stud in McConkey, I think, is probably a stud.
Yeah. The rest of it is, you're right, Mike Williams, Quentin Johnston. They did draft...
Those are the two. They got to stop with those
They
two.
Did draft Trey Harris. Back-to-back seasons, drafting a receiver relatively high.
What round was he? Second round?
I think so.
They had Najee Harris also. You'd pick the Chargers to be better than the Broncos?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think I'd pick Denver.
I think I'd pick Denver also.
Yeah.
Yeah, Denver, I mean... We'll see. How about Justin Herbert plays chess?
Okay, I saw this.
Yesterday was my gateway into learning that a lot of NFL players are in a competitive chess league.
Uh-huh.
Justin Jefferson, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert. You did know this?
No, I did not know this. Battle NFL Stars, it was a charity chess tournament that they were in. But they're big chess players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Herbert and it's Mac Hollins going at it. This is one area where, like, I don't know how to play chess, and I'd like to learn how to play chess, because when I saw people's reaction to what Herbert did, like, he basically, what'd he do? The equivalent of, like, a Hail Mary in chess?
I don't know. I do know how to play chess. I don't know how to play chess where you're looking at the board like people were doing this, and, like, yeah. So I guess that's not knowing how. I functionally know how to play chess.
Looking at the board, like, in the Queen's Gambit, where she's, like, visualizing it on the ceiling. Yeah. Like, yeah. Because... It sounded like Herbert did something that people thought was... He sacrificed his king or whatever.
You can't do that.
Or he sacrificed a bishop, maybe.
Yep.
And everyone thought, well, you just gave the game away. But it was a trap. He was setting Mac Hollins up for a trap, I think was what it was. And then he threw, like, a Hail Mary pass, the equivalent of. But I cannot talk about it any more intelligently than that. Mac Hollins, Justin Herbert. Harrison Phillips was also in this tournament.
Okay.
Justin Reed, Rashawn Slater, A.J. Dillon, Richard Sherman, and that's your list. Kyler Murray, also.
Yeah.
It was the championship was Justin Reed against Kyler Murray.
Justin Reed from the Chiefs?
Is he on the Chiefs?
He used to be, at least, right?
I don't know if he's still on the Chiefs. He's on the Saints.
Okay. I think of him as a Chief.
He's on the Saints now. Yeah.
803-0550, sorry, 1-888-550-2550. June 18th. My birthday's in a week.
1 week? You turn almost 50. Let's go.
46.
Big birthday.
Turning 46.
Uh-huh. 46. Does it feel like 46?
Let's not forget, was it earlier this week when I was asked to guess an athlete that's the same age as me, and I got it by 2 days? LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yep. That was pretty good.
Is there a... I'm going to look up for, like, who
it's
is...
It's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen accomplished on the show,
thank
honestly.
You. So who's 46? This is a fun game for me. I just turned, like, who's 46?
Right now?
Yep. Usher.
That makes sense.
Usher's 46.
That checks out.
Rachel McAdams is 46. Adam Levine.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Andy Samberg, James Corden. CM Punk is 46. you know what? It's a good year here.
Yeah.
Now I'm taking credit for the whole year. John Legend, Zoe Saldana.
You and CM Punk have like the same colored beard going, so that makes sense to me.
Fair. I guess. Kate Hudson's 46. Manny Pacquiao,
who is fighting again this year, I saw.
Oscar Isaac, Katherine Heigl.
Okay.
These are all my people. Tyrese Gibson, Josh Hartnett.
Is this list making you feel better or worse?
You know what? Yeah, I feel great. Claire Danes.
You feel better?
Yeah, Katie Holmes. Yeah, these people aren't old.
Can we find a 46-year-old that's going to make him feel terrible?
I'm looking at this list. These people aren't old at all.
Yeah. What would be the best way to do this? Because I tried it with the running back thing for you, and it didn't work. Because it worked for me, 29-year-old running backs, but it didn't work for you. What about like hockey players that are 46 years old? Maybe that could be
let's play a window here. Let's play the game with hockey players.
Well, how long were you 18?
They would have been drafted in 1997, because that's when I'm 18. So 97-98 draft.
Okay. Like, is Joe Thornton going to be 46?
46? It's going to be close.
Right? But see, what you really like here are guys that have been gone for a while, because that's going to make them feel older. So like, Olli Jokinen? No.
That's a name.
How about Sergei Samsonov? How about Marian Hossa? He's been gone a while, right?
Yeah.
You're as old as Mika Nornin.
Mika Nornin.
Just got down to the Sabres first round pick.
There's a name for you.
What about Patrick Marleau? No. Oh, here you go. You're the same age as Max Afinikinoff.
There you go.
My guy.
Good old
I don't
Mad
think
Max.
This is working.
No, it's not. I don't feel old.
He doesn't feel old.
I feel like $1 million. Don't feel old. 46.
You can still hit the ball in golf. As far as you ever could, right? Is that the test?
I want to say this.
Are you truly old when you can no longer hit the ball as far as you ever could?
Right, when you have accepted that the days of hitting it long are gone.
Right.
Because
you wouldn't say right now, like, you would not definitively say, I've hit the furthest drive of my life at 46?
Probably, it's very possible I would say that, but that comes down to technique rather than, the ability of the body to do things.
Sure.
You know? I will say you have hope, because I played yesterday at Delaware with a guy who is 84 years old.
Wow.
Walks, pushed his cart. He was unbelievable. He walked up, he played the last two with us. He hit his drive on 17, 245 yards. Just down
at 84 years old.
Okay. I am not exaggerating not a bit.
His name was Gary Player.
But he used to probably hit it like, 310.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, was this person like 6'5"?
This person is in their era of deciding, like, listen, I can't hit it like I used to. 245 is still good. But there's no way he was hitting 245 in his prime.
I don't know what, like, this guy was unbelievable. 84, his name was Cleo. You wouldn't think this guy's a bomber. Like, skinny, sort of like 5'10", dude, just hammered the ball. He was 84 years old, pushed his cart, and on the 18th tee, he lifted his shirt up and showed he was like, I'm getting I got a chemo bag on right now.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I'm not even kidding.
What an adventure this was.
This guy was incredible. I told him he's got to come find me every time he plays, because I want to play with him all the time.
Wow.
An unbelievable dude. He parred 18.
Nice. 18's a good par there.
How long until you're allowed to play the senior tees?
60.
It's got to be 60?
Depends. So we've been at golf tournaments where my father-in-law's 60, and they're like, if you're 60, you can play the Golds. And he doesn't need to. So we had an internal discussion, like, is they going to let me?
Right.
Because
it doesn't change anything with, like, was this like a handicap situation?
Because here's
situation?
The thing. If you're 60 and you feel like I don't need the senior tees, but the other seniors are playing the senior tees that also don't need them, and they're going up, well, I got to do it.
Right.
Now it's an arms race. I got to go to the senior tees.
Right.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Scramble season.
So you're not close to the senior tees then?
No. I am close to 100 holes. 100 holes of golf is a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you start looking at the weather yet?
No, not yet. I got Owen to caddy 18, though. He's Owen is joining the brotherhood of people that have caddied the 18 of the 100 for me.
Well, Owen, I hope for your sake that it's not as hot as it was last year when I only walked 18 and didn't golf with him, and I was dripping.
Yeah. I'm ready. I'm prepared for whatever needs to be done.
All right. The 10-day. Okay. All right. The 10-day forecast right now, high of 86.
86. Yikes.
We do it at Wanaka. It's right there on the lake. Whatever the temperature is, it's going to be a little cooler because of the lake.
Yep.
But we are 9 days out.
And then that night will be Team WGR's 11-day power play game. So you can come watch us at 6 o'clock at Harbor Center if you want to watch some bad hockey. And you can donate 11daypowerplay.com. Hit the donate button, and then you can just search WGR. It's the easiest way to get there. Opening ceremonies are today at 6. So
when you're caddying and then playing in the 11-day?
I am.
He's caddying 18 holes.
Yeah, well, still, like but okay, that's
just walking.
No,
18
not
holes.
That bad.
It's a good warm up. Be fine.
Yeah, it's not bad. And if you want to, you can use a cart. You can. I can't.
When's the last time you skated?
A couple weeks ago with Josh's.
Okay,
I got in on one of Josh's.
I've not skated in months.
I
don't know if I will before this game, but it's not like the most high energy game in the world anyway. So
that was the first time I'd put it on since my last like practice where I got hurt though. Like that was that was 3.5 years of
nothing.
Touching it. So
all right, well that'd be fun.
Come show.
So you can go hang out outside when it's 86 during the day, and then come Harbor Center's nice and cool at night. So
yeah,
how'd the pads smell?
Oh, gotta be horrible.
Fine.
Like 3.5 years.
Yeah, just sort of
whatever organisms were in there died off.
Yeah,
you think?
All,
no way.
No more fuel.
No way.
The gloves were still bad.
No.
It's always,
in thousands of years, future archaeologists are gonna unbury hockey equipment, and it's still gonna reek.
Yeah. I left it out in the sun for a while to kind of bake it out when I got home.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, 3.5 years ago, and was like, I got to get this stuff to not stink because I don't know when the next time I'm touching it is. So
I'm going
to
look up if unbury is a word. It is.
Unbury?
No,
unbury. Yeah, unbury. They're going to unbury this equipment. Unbury.
Yeah, what else would you call it?
Dig up.
Excavate.
Yeah. Excavate. Yeah, dig. I've never heard unbury.
Unbury.
Yeah, it's a win for you. Right. It is a word.
I didn't even think twice about it. I just guess I used that word.
It was instinct.
Unbury.
You just knew it. Extendo Sports coming up, and then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You can give us a ring if you want to, or the Extra Point Show, all that good stuff. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
You want to say what they've got here on the screen on Get Up on ESPN?
Sure. Mike Greenberg. Top players who have not won a title. McDavid number one, Josh Allen number two, Lamar Jackson three, Aaron Judge four, Luka Doncic five.
Pretty big gap between three and four there. You'll probably never get me to think like, oh, Aaron Judge doesn't have a title. You're a baseball player.
Right.
It's not odd for the all-time great baseball players to not have a World Series to me.
It's going
to
be more of a Yankee thing than it is a baseball thing, right? It'll be, oh, he's the greatest Yankee ever to not win a title.
Okay.
But I don't care about that.
Right.
And Luka,
in terms of impact on a game, like Allen and Jackson, yeah, for sure. And McDavid, all right. Greats in hockey usually get one.
Should Burrow be four?
No.
How different is he from those two?
He's
not as great, but he's great.
Who should be four? Who would I put four? How about
Luka's probably the best NBA answer, but like I don't know all about that yet. Draisaitl should be four.
Yeah, maybe. Really?
Honestly.
Draisaitl should be four. That's probably right.
The first look at Stanley Cup odds on FanDuel are in for next season.
Okay.
Two questions for you.
I did have a peek for this. The Sabres are 100-1.
Okay, so you already looked?
And the four teams behind them?
I have five teams behind them, so maybe you're looking at a different place?
Well, one of them was tied, I think, if you look.
Okay. No, the place I'm looking.
Okay. Is it like Seattle, Utah?
Seattle, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Anaheim, Chicago, and San Jose.
Okay.
Are the teams that are worse than the Sabres. Who's the Stanley Cup favorite at FanDuel?
Edmonton.
Nope.
Oh, okay. They were in the email I saw. Florida.
Maybe it's adjusted. Nope.
Toronto.
Nope. Toronto is way down.
Vegas.
Nope.
Dallas.
Nope.
Carolina.
Yep.
And get out of here. Just get out. Probably because the
playoff. It's really a joke.
It's because of the playoff format, is it not?
That's why they're going to get out,
and these teams are going to, you know.
That was the trap. I bet the Hurricanes to win the cup this playoffs because of that point. It was they're playing a bad Devils team in the first round. They're playing an overrated Washington team in the second round. I'm like, oh, free pass to the conference finals. They got a free pass to the conference finals. I need them to win the cup to win that bet, though. And they just get rocked every time they get to the conference finals. So, yeah, I think that's kind of a joke that they're the favorite.
Speaking of that biopic, Deliver Me From Nowhere, the Bruce Springsteen biopic, stars Jeremy Allen White and Jeremy Strong, both in it. Jeremy Strong is from Succession.
Yep.
As a Jeremy, do I have to see it just based on, like, this is good for our brand?
I think you do.
This is good for us.
It's good for Jeremy's everywhere.
We're doing great. Look at us.
Yep.
All right.
Who's the all-time Jeremy?
Irons. I mean, Jeremy Allen White might be it. No, he's
Did
pretty
you say hot. Irons?
It's a Jeremy Irons.
I don't know who that is.
He played Scar. You know Jeremy Irons.
Okay. Are you sure?
He played Scar. He played the guy in Die Hard 3.
It is just funny, though, that
you're going to know who this is.
The most famous Jeremy. You gave me someone I've never heard of that was in Die Hard 3?
Yeah. He was the bad guy, whatever the guy's name is.
This is Die Hard 3. That's not good for Jeremy's.
Well, you asked me who the most famous one was.
What about Jeremy Renner?
Okay. Hawkeye. Jeremy Roenick.
Yeah.
Jeremy Swayman.
Nah.
Jeremy spoke in class today.
Okay, ranker.com. Oh, I guess you were pretty good because Jeremy Irons is the number two most famous Jeremy on this list.
You know who he is.
Behind Jeremy Renner. The number three, Jeremy Clarkson.
Don't know who he is.
That's the guy from Top Gear. Jeremy Menez, who's a Mexican soccer player, but there's a what do you call it, over both of the E's in his name.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's pronounced Jeremy.
I always wanted to claim Jaromir Jagr.
No, it's
got to be Jeremy in Czech. Is it not Jaromir?
Yeah, you can't do that.
I'm claiming it. He's one of us. Anyway, all right, that's it.
That's a weak list of Jeremys. I'm at number six is an English philosopher from the 1600s.
Sorry for not being named Joe.
Joe's a good one. Yeah. A lot of famous Joes.
That's right. There's a bunch. All right, we're back tomorrow. And by the way, I'm Jerry and you're Bruno. Didn't we already?
That's right. Never mind. Sorry. All this was pointless anyway.
I'm Jerry. It's Jerry and Joe. Why do we call you Bruno again?
Because my dad wanted to name me Bruno.
That's right.
Yeah.
My mom wanted to name me Jeremiah. All right. Jeremiah and Bruno. Man, we should be calling you Bruno. We got to do it.
No, we shouldn't. We should not be doing
it. We got to do it. Yeah. All right. I'll commit to it. I'll really try.
No, I got it. He needs to start his own podcast. That needs to have the title of Bruno.
Bruno?
Joe Bruno? Is there a guy named Joe Bruno?
Don't talk.
There is a guy named Joe Bruno.
Talk about Bruno.
Former Senator Joe Bruno. All right. Enough. Sal's coming up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.